You know, there's a lot to be thankful for, folks. Did you know that? I have really, I probably have about as many problems as the average person has, Brother JT. And yet, when I think about Jesus, I realize that we don't have any problems. When I run into real problems, I realize that we don't really have any problems. I think the biggest problem that we have is ourselves.
Amen.
We do things and then we have to live with it. And it turns out to be a problem and we're to blame. The biggest thing that we have as a problem is ourselves. So we just have to learn to die is all I know. And then when we're good and dead, our problem be over. Praise God. Can you say amen to that? All right, in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, I want to read just a little bit to you tonight. Now, there's so many things in my heart concerning Revelation. As Paul said one time, I'm much Revelation. There's so much concerning Revelation that has taken place in so many places around the country as we've traveled and down through the years. Until it's always so hard to know just exactly where to go or to how to get started. But the best way in the world to get into Revelation that I know of is going back to Calvary, because that's where everything happened. And, you know, Revelation is something different from preaching. You might say, well, Brother Pike, how could that be? Well, Paul said, I'm a preacher and a teacher. And an apostle. But now, there's something different about it. See, you can preach. The Bible said, by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God that men should be saved. And it's foolish to have to holler at people to keep their attention. Isn't that right? That's about one of the most foolish things I've ever seen in my life. But by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God that men should be saved. That's the only way you can keep their attention. You can get up here and start talking to them about something and really telling them something that's straight from heaven. You couldn't keep their attention. Ain't no way in the world you could do it. But you can holler and jump and kick your heel and run and slam the desk. You'll keep their attention. Knock on the benches. Do most anything you want to do. I know one fellow, he throws the songbooks. To keep their attention, he just takes a songbook, turns it happened to her, throws it out across the audience. And one fellow told me over in the Carolinas one time I was talking to him. And he said, Brother Pike, said, the way I always get their attention, said, I always climb a tent pole. Said, that always gets their attention. Well, I might be too fat to climb a tent pole. I wouldn't be a very good tent pole climber. But anyway, if you could do that, I guess that'd be all right if that's the way you're supposed to do it. But I wouldn't make a very good climber, so I have to figure out something else. Now, but I'd like for you to give me your attention tonight. Just on a free will offering. Give me your attention tonight. As Peter said, look on us. It's not because we're pretty. I'm bald-headed and out of proportion, and I'm just a little over 16. But anyway, if you'll look at me, just look at me, and look right past me and try to see Jesus. As Peter said, look on us. I want to give you something tonight. And it's in my heart, but I can't get it out. The only way to get it is for you to get it. There's all kind of gifts in the churches. There is discernment, and there is miracles, and there's healing, and there's knowledge, and there is tongues, and interpretation is a gift of wisdom, and there's all kind of gifts in the church. But the only way those gifts can work, and they are in the body, the only way they can work is for you to draw that. You've got to draw that. Even Brother Branham comes to my mind. I remember him saying something one time about the gift that was in his life. He said the only way you could get it was you had to draw it. And how true that is. I found that to be true. I didn't know that he felt that way about it, but I knew for a fact that's the way that I had learned that it worked. And every minister I've ever seen that really had anything from God, the people had to draw it. You know, we see a lot of ministers and we think, well, that minister just don't have anything from God. But you'd be surprised what that minister's got from God if you just get in there and draw. You'd be shocked at it. Really, I'm telling you the truth. See, God's not short. He said, my arm's not short that I can't get to you. He said, it's your iniquity that is separated between you and your God. See, it's not that the minister doesn't have it. God can speak through the minister and say anything that he wants to. See, he could speak the world out of existence if he wanted to. But the thing is, he's got to have somebody that will draw. Now, you know, you've got a lot of electricity coming in here, but that doesn't give you life. Just having electricity doesn't give you life. Now, you got to have a living receptacle to get light. Now, look at that receptacle back here. See, it's burnt out. One of them's burnt out. The other two's burning. The other one's burnt out. That's where a lot of people are. We might have three or four living receptacles that gets light, and maybe we've got a dozen of them that's burnt out, and it just ain't enough light to keep the darkness out, like where the people can see good. The Bible said you're the light of the world. You've heard that song, Telephone to Glory, oh, what joy to find. You can feel the current moving on the line. In other words, what we need to do is to get into the mind of Christ. Now, there is some things in heaven, but you can't see them in your carnal mind. You've got to get into the Spirit and get into the mind of Christ. And when you get into the mind of Christ, they're just as clear as they can be. That's right, just as clear. Now, a lot of times you see me up here and I'm trying to teach or preach to you, and I'm staggering, I'm stumbling, and looks like I don't know what I'm going to say and can't find it. That isn't because I don't know it. I've been down that trail a lot of times. It's just as clear as the noonday sun. I taught it when it would just be just like a stream of water running out of the mountain, no interference. But see, where the trouble is, it's your minds. Your minds are divided, and it's just like that light. If you have somebody here, you're jobbing a stick up in there, and the light goes off and on, off and on, off and on. And see, if you, now, just like me, I can't give it to you. Can't nobody give it to you. I said the other night, I can intellectually indoctrinate you, but with the heart, man, believe it, God has to quicken it to your heart. It's the minister's job to get it in your head, but God has to quicken it to your heart. Your spirit is in your heart. And see, what I'm trying to do, and what every minister is trying to do, you say, well, what you're trying to do, Brother Pike, is get under the anointing. No, that's wrong. See, a minister is not trying to get under the anointing. The minister is the anointed of God. He's always the anointed of God. He's the anointed of God 24 hours a day. All he has to do is stir up his pure mind, which is the mind of Christ. What he's trying to do is to get your minds together, collectively speaking, that when he gets your spirits together in one spirit, and then you come down to his spirit, then he'll turn his spirit over to God, and God through his spirit will come into your spirit like it was on the day of Pentecost, all in one mind and one accord, and there's no interference, and it'll be just like that. It'll be just like that. God will just speak, and he'll keep speaking. A lot of people, you know, they come and stay 30 minutes, and they say, well, God has spoken for tonight. But I want you to know that God would speak all night long if he could keep your spirits, and all day tomorrow, too. God would go right on because he said, I have many things to say unto you, but you're dull of hearing. Paul preached till midnight, and the eunuchs fell down out of the third loft up there and took him up dead. Paul gave him his life back and preached till daylight. Just went on and preached the clock around. Well, you know why he did that? He was leaving the next day, and he had to get his message over. He was going to leave, so he had to get it over. But Paul had a lot to say, didn't he? Now, I hope you can understand what I'm saying. I say these things that we might come together in one mind and one accord and not have to struggle to be able to keep your attention so that we can make the very best of the time. Most preachers that come in and preach, they have to spend 30 or 40 minutes sometimes getting your attention. Brother Branham, he used to. That's why he talked as long as he did. He'd come in, he'd have a conversation with you, and he'd probably talk 30 minutes, and after he got everybody collected up, then he'd ease off in the anointing, and he'd start preaching. He did that to keep from tearing his throat and his insides up, he learned over a period of years. Like I used to tell Brother Taylor, he'd get up to lead singing, and Brother Taylor, he'd just go in there dry just like he was shoveling snow. And I told him, I said, Brother Taylor, you're not doing a bit of good. I said, the people are not with you. I said, you've got to get their spirits, and then when you get in the rhythm of the Holy Spirit, I said, then you all can rejoice together. And it's the same way that when you come up here, you've got to get in the anointing. Because I don't know it in my natural brain. I don't know it. If you had to contain in your natural brain what God gives you, you'd go crazy. So you don't contain it up here. You contain it in your heart. You just keep on getting and keep on getting. There's no mental oppression up here. The only mental oppression you have is the struggling and striving and studying, wherein much study causes weariness of the flesh, Solomon said. To press into that, that's what causes the mental fatigue or fasting and praying. But really, having the Spirit of God and the knowledge of God just gives you joy and makes you light as a feather and makes you so, oh, so happy. Also, I have a lot of people, you know, they feel like that if you learn too much about the Bible, it'll drive you crazy. Isn't that right? But they'll spend 15 years in college. That's right. You say, ever heard of them spend that much? I wouldn't doubt it a bit. Some fella, I believe in California, already had 7 years and was going back to college, I believe. Now, that's the way it is with the world. They study, they read everything from the billboards to the newspaper. And if they ever start to learn anything about God, see, better not do that. A man wrote from an insane asylum one time. Somebody wrote there and asked him about that particular thing. He wrote back and said, mine. He said, that's the only thing we can find to keep people out from down here is the Bible, God's Word. Is that right? You act like you don't believe it. It's the truth. The Bible said all of them that be of God are of a sound mind. That's you, one of your first promises. Hallelujah. So let's get in the mind of Christ tonight. And let's see if we can bring out just a little bit of something here. I've got a lot to say to you, and I hope you're not dull of hearing to where we can see it. Let's see if we can get into it tonight. Revelation, the fourth chapter. After this I looked, this is the first verse, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings, and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the fourth beast had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now then, I'd like to read just a little bit more, if you don't mind, if I can find it right quick. Now, these 4 beasts, how many of you know that it was these beasts that announced those seals, the first 4 of those seals? Those 4 beasts announced the first 4 of those seals. Notice this first verse, if you will. After these things, or after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Now, this is really the thought that I want to talk to you on here. We might refer back to something in just a little bit here, something I'd like to get a thought out of if I could. Now, if we get in the anointing of the Lord tonight in the mind of the Lord Jesus, I can promise you that we might stay here 2-3 hours, which we are not planning to do. But even if you did, you'd find it would be about like 30 minutes. That's the truth. It's like the man that sat back there last night. He said, time sure did get away quick. Said it didn't seem like very long. He was from up in Ohio somewhere. But it's really true. It's true. But if you don't get into the anointing, every 15 minutes seems like about 3 hours. And you're just miserable. You're just miserable. Now then, he said, I saw a door that was open in heaven. How many of you believe tonight that there really is a door open in heaven? There really is a door, and that door is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the door to the sheepfold. No man can go in but by me. Now then, if faith cometh by the hearing of the word, and that word is the mind of Christ, and that mind of Christ is Jesus, the door, then the way that we get into the Spirit, which is heaven, is to be able to go through that door. We've got to start listening to the preacher and keep believing, keep believing. See, you've got to try to believe. Like Brother Oral Roberts said one time, he said, some people just too lazy to believe. They just won't put forth no effort. But you've got to try to believe. Try to get in the Spirit. And then as you believe, you find yourself translating into another dimension or transforming into another dimension. Paul said, be ye therefore transformed by the renewings of your mind. That is, according to the Word of God, think on the Word of God. Meditate in it day and night. Think on it. Remember, these beasts kept saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We come to church for 15 or 20 minutes, and we think we've really done something. But God demands praise so much that that which is in His presence never does stop, day or night, throughout eternity, just saying, holy, 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 all the time, holy, holy. See, that shows us how far we are from God. We wonder a lot of times why we don't get spiritual things. We say, well, Brother Pike, why can't I get in the Spirit? Or why is it we don't get spiritual things? It's because we are so far from God. When we see these things crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, then we realize how far we are from spiritual things, and we're made to realize why that we don't see the angels and we don't get these things that they get. Have you ever tried staying with God all day long? You ever tried staying with God all night long? You ever tried that? The song says, have you ever drank a cup of loneliness with Him? Have you ever got away? That's when you start getting something. Somebody said, well, Jesus could work miracles and Jesus could do great things, but you also find places where it said Jesus continued in prayer all night long. He continued in prayer all night long. These little popcorn prayers and popcorn sermons and these little popcorn services, my friend, they're never going to translate us into the kingdom of God. It's going to take getting down to business. It's going to take getting away from the things of the world. Look at the men that go out and work on the job. Stay out there 8 and 10 hours. Some of them work two shifts. Now, that they do that to get the natural substance. But to be able to have the things in the world, they've got to stay with it. And that's the same way it is with God. You've got to mean business. You've got to get away from them things. Like a survey not too long ago, they took a survey in the Church of God, a Pentecostal church, and in some of the other churches, and the survey showed that the ministers did not average 15 minutes prayer out of the day. As a matter of fact, it showed the laity did not average 3 minutes of prayer out of the day, and you could break it down. That was years ago, and I'd say now that some of the preachers don't average any prayer out of the day. They'd do good to average 15 minutes of prayer and meditation out of an entire week. Now, that's why the church is in the condition that it's in. We're playing church and we're not getting down to business with God. Now, I know that the things of God don't come by bodily effort. I know that. It's by the grace of God. But my friend, there is a fleshly enmity between you and God that has to be broken down. It's a carnal resistance against God, and God can't get to you. It isn't that He's asking you to do anything to earn it. He's just asking you to get yourself out of the way. Get the carnal mind that's enmity out of the way so God can come in and do something for you. Is that right? Now then, John here in the Spirit on the Lord's Day had gotten away from the world, gotten over there by himself, and here he is in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And what does he say? He said, I looked and I saw a door open in heaven. Peter opened a door at Pentecost, and the door is still open, And if you want to go into the heavenlies and see the things of God, you can, but you've got to transform yourself into that realm. You've got to have a transforming mind. And that just doesn't happen. A preacher just can't make that happen. You can't just make it happen. You've got to believe earnestly, sincerely. Like I remember, I was in a service. Brother Branham one time was out. I'd never been in his service before until that time. He was over here in Tennessee somewhere. And I was up in the balcony, had on a red plaid shirt. Didn't even look like a minister. And I was sitting there and I come in. And I'd been seeking the Lord a little bit and I was kind of nervous. But I was sitting there and I was looking at him and I'd heard quite a bit about him. He'd come out on the platform and I looked down there and I thought, well, he don't look no different to me than nobody else. A little fella come walking out there, you know. I thought, well, he looks just like everybody else. But I kept watching him, and finally, I decided there was something different about him. And I began to watch him, and after a while, I said in my heart, I said, God, these things I've heard must be true. I said, that man does conduct himself different. And so then I just set my faith in motion, and I said, in the name of Jesus, William Branham, turn around and speak to me right now. And when I did, he turned around just like somebody touched him on the shoulder. And he moved around like that, you know. And I knew that something had happened, but he didn't speak to me. I did again. I said, I right now in Jesus' name. And he turned around just like the crack of a whip. And he turned around and looked up in the balcony. And he said, you sitting right here middle ways of the balcony with a red plaid shirt on. He said, you're a minister. And said, you're from the state of Georgia. And begin to tell him a lie. And you know how the Holy Ghost works when that thing comes on him. All because I tried to believe. I tried to believe. I wanted to get into the supernatural realms. You've got faith and you can get into it if you want to. But you've got to make an effort. I believe Brother Branham also made a statement one time. He said, I am persuaded to believe that any mental attitude that's right toward anything that God has, you can have it. If you've got the right mental attitude toward any promise of God, you can have it. But you've got to get your mental attitude right so that that inward heart can function. If you don't get this lined up, that subconscious expectation will never take over. I've used my faith numbers of times in my life because I believe in faith. I've seen it work in great miraculous ways, and if it had not worked, I'd have been a terrible fix. Now, we've got a great thing tonight, and that's faith. You've got a great thing tonight, and that's faith. It's the most neglected thing that I know of. It's laid on the shelf, and it's just neglected. It's neglected, and yet it's the greatest asset that you've got. If you'd work with it a little bit, polish it up a little bit, do something to stir it up a little bit, you'd be oh so glad once your faith starts functioning. You'd lose interest in everything else in the world because faith offers such great excitement and such great adventure until you don't desire anything else in this world. It's just beautiful. That's all it is to it. It's wonderful. Hallelujah. John Year, he got in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He'd been exiled over here at Patmos. He's there by himself, and he couldn't do anything. And here he was all by himself, and what was it was taking place? He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The Spirit said to John, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Jesus said, having ears you hear not. Having ears you hear not. You can hear what a man says. You can hear what a preacher says. But my friend, that's not enough. If you hear what the preacher says, that's going to condemn you in the day of the judgment. That's all preaching is for. Is that you can get an intellectual indoctrination of the letter that you might become guilty before God. And in the day of judgment, God will condemn you, saying that you knew to do good and did not do it. Because you cannot do it unless the Spirit lives it for you on the inside. It takes the love of God to constrain you. All of these intellectual churches that's out yonder, they're going to go to hell. They believe, but they believe a lie. They believe they're on their way to heaven, they're on their way to hell. They've got an intellectual indoctrination of it, but it won't work for them. Just as the Ark of the Covenant back there, it would work for Israel, but when the enemy got it, it worked in reverse. That's why there's sickness. That's why there's heartaches. That's why there's cancer and poverty. They've taken the Ark of the Covenant away from the children of God like they did the children of Israel, and the oppression is coming on them. They don't know how to serve it. They don't know that they've got to walk holy. They think it's just some ritualistic practice, just going through formality. But it doesn't work that way. It's bringing cancer, TB, heartaches, insanity, problems, all of these these things on the world because they don't know how to serve it. But my friend, one day they're going to wake up to what they're doing, and they're going to say, I'm through with religion. I don't want nothing to do with it. I'm going to the beach and wherever I want to, and I'm going to frolic. And they're going to say, you bunch of holy rollers, you take this thing back, and you know what to do with it. We don't know what to do with it. And I'll tell you, that'll be a glad day. The kingdom of God suffers violence with the hands of men, and that violence has taken it by force out of the children's God's hand. But my brother, God's going to place it back in, because the Bible said the saints of God, they shall rise and take the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God, there's a glad day coming. I believe with all of my heart that the hour is here to rise and take the kingdom. Amen. You say, Brother Pike, how will we ever do it? We're going to bypass the intellectual powers, the intellectual concept, and slip in right behind that and get the spiritual knowledge of the living God. Amen. The natural symbolic type of God's efforts has been taken into captivity by Satan's mind. But my brother, he's doing an invisible work that Satan can't see and the world can't get a hold of it. He said, they shall never see light. This is my dispute with the church tonight, is that we don't see what's going on. We're too much in the natural, too much in the carnal. Things are taking place in heaven, and the world church is not seeing it. But God wants our eyes open, because what he's doing, he is a spirit, and what he's doing is a spiritual operation, and it's hidden from the eyes of the wise and prudent to make it revelation to babes such as will learn. Now then, that's why John got what he got. John was an intellectual. The Bible said, lean not to your own understanding. When the preacher's preaching, don't try to figure out where it's right or wrong. You're in your way. You got your foot in your mouth, as somebody said. Get it out. That's not the way to do it. Somebody said, but I'm so afraid I'll be misled. Well, you don't have to worry about that. I said, you don't have to worry about being misled. You say, why is that, Brother Pike? Because the mere fact that you didn't think like that proves there's something wrong with you. You don't know the Word. Jesus said, you err not knowing the Scriptures. The Bible says he's not lost to one of them. Everyone you've given me, Father, I'll raise him up in the last day. Paul said nothing could separate you from the love of God. That proves you're living in your own mind to start with. Your faith is supposed to be anchored in the eternal security of godliness. And my brother, when we get there, we don't worry about those things. God will tell us when it's right. Our spirit will bear witness with it. Our spirit will bear witness with it if it's right, and God will tell us if it's wrong. Now, what we've got to do is let the Spirit of God speak to us. If you've got an ear to hear, let the Spirit speak to you. I want to get something from God, don't you? You've got to draw that thing so that you can enter in to that other dimension. I said something the other night about the beast, the whole world wandering after the beast. Is that right? The whole world shall wander after the beast. And I said the other night that that beast is the flesh, that people will wander after the flesh. You say, but Brother Pike, that beast come up out of the water. But John said the waters was people. And I know that there'll be a headship to it, Brother J.T., that'll come up out there. I realize that with that papacy of Rome and the seven heads. I'm not ignorant of that. But I am speaking of the membership of that body. That's what pertains to you. That's what you're interested in, is wandering after the flesh. Going after the flesh. All the world wandered after the beast. And folks, they're doing it tonight. They're doing it tonight in a greater way than they've ever done. In that garden, the Bible said the nearest thing in that garden to a man was a beast. Is that right? The nearest thing to a man was a beast. Now you say, who was the man? Adam. But there was a difference. There was a difference. What was Adam called? He was called the Son of God. Is that right? So the nearest thing to the Son of God is what? It's a beast. The nearest thing to a son of God is a man. There is men in this world, and there is sons of God in this world. There is men in this world, they're intellectual. They have appearance, beautiful appearance. They have nice forms. They have intelligence. They have money. They have character, everything that goes along with the world. But they're beasts, made to be taken and burned. They do not have the intelligence of God living on the inside. Let me tell you something, folks. It's foolish for us to worry about the natural man. Paul said, though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. It's renewed day by day. Why are you worried? Don't you want to be young, healthy, happy, prosperous, live eternally, where's your hat? He said, tell me where it was before I ever got it, and I'll tell you where it's at now. I said, I've not lost one of them. Jesus said, not one hair on your head shall perish. It said that one son of God, one daughter of God, in the day of the resurrection, the sun itself will have to pull a cloth over it. It won't even be able to shine. Did you know that this is the truth? That you can't even get close to the sun. We are probably, what they say, 96 million miles or 93 million miles from the sun. And here we are in this world, and it still could scorch us to death. But the Bible said that one son of God, just one son of God on the inside, if you could see him, the Bible said he would outshine the noonday sun. Amen. His brightness would cause the entire world to go into a state of chaos. That's what he's got. Hallelujah. Why should we worry about this puny outer man or the things of this world, my friend, when we have something like that? That's what we want to work with, is the inner man. John was in the Spirit. We sang that song, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. We're trying to carry on church without the Spirit. We're trying to do things in the church without the Spirit. We're trying to get a form, some kind of formula or something that we can give to the world out yonder, to where we can entertain the world in such a way that they'll want to come to our church. But my friend, that's not the answer to it. If that's all we're going to do, well, we might as well quit. Because church is for the purpose of translating the bride. That's what church is for. Somebody said, church, Brother Pike, is to get the people saved. The Bible said, go out in the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that the house might be filled. I know that, and I believe it ought to be that way. But my friend, the Bible doesn't say in any place that the ministry was sent there for that purpose. It said the ministry was sent for the perfecting of the saints. Jesus said, I'm not sent except unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Amen. God knows his own. The Bible said the seal of God stands sure. He knows his own. Hallelujah. We know him. And we know his voice tonight. You're afraid you'll get misled. The Bible said, my sheep know my voice. If you're the sheep of God, you know my voice. Jesus said, why can't you hear my words? He said, because you're not my sheep. Amen. My sheep know my voice. Therefore, if the Spirit says something to us, we've got an ear to hear. Let us hear what the Spirit said. John said there was a door open in heaven. That means tonight, Christian friend, that we've got a chance to enter into the supernatural. We've got a chance. Look there at Paul. Paul on the ship over there, there's about 276 people on that ship. And Paul, when he got into jeopardy over there, he just called a fast, and for 14 days, 276 people fasted for 14 days so that they could get a move of God to get that thing out of darkness. The Bible said all hope was gone. All hope was gone, Brother J.T. That's the way it is in the church today. I assure you today the hope is gone. All hope is gone. If Jesus Christ doesn't come down and do something, all hope is gone. He said the end of all flesh is at hand. The end of all flesh is at hand. Look at disease eating it up. Look at the wrecks on the highways. Look at the bumming. Look at all the problems. Look at the lust. Look at the covetousness. Look at all of this. Everything is just gone into a state of chaos, my friend. What is it? The end of all flesh is at hand. All flesh, the Bible said, has corrupted its way before God, as it was in the days of Noah. What was it in the days of Noah? All flesh had corrupted its way before God. That's the way it is today. My, what a beautiful picture. Look back at Calvary. You know, if you want to get a beautiful picture of the ark, look back at Calvary. There's a beautiful picture of the ark if I've ever seen it. If you could just enter into heaven tonight, enter into the mind. How many of you know the mind of Christ is heaven? How many of you know the Spirit of God is heaven? My words are Spirit, Jesus said. Is that right? When you look back there at Calvary, if you could just enter into the Spirit tonight, enter into heaven tonight, see just exactly what was going on. Like Moses over there in the cliff of the rock, back over there in the mountain, when the Shekinah glory of God began to move back over there, and Moses wanted to see the glory of God, God picked him up and slipped him into the cliff of the rock. Amen. Somebody said, our God is a rock, and brought it down to Jesus Christ. And when the Spirit went in his side and the blood and water came out to give us that formula of baptism there where we can slip into the cliff of the rock and stay in Christ. And there's a Shekinah glory of God goes by seeing the door open in the side of Jesus Christ, makes us know that he was the ark, that he was the covenant of God, that he was that ark. And the way we get into it is through the name of Jesus Christ, through baptism. That door at Pentecost over that was open to the kingdom. That same door that John saw in the book of Revelation, that cut that was in the side, where forth came blood and water, whereby we could enter into the things of God. look at Jesus, a beautiful type of the ark. A beautiful type. The Bible said that Noah had pitched that ark on the inside and on the outside. And Jesus Christ inwardly pitched in the likeness of God. On the outside, pitched in the likeness of God. And here he was at the ark of God and the door standing open, saying, let whosoever will come. And here he is standing here and the wrath of God ready to come down. There's that beautiful ark there. Look at it, how beautiful it is. Open to the world there. And waiting for everything to take place. How many remember the ark? Had three stories to it. Had a lower story. Had a top story, had a middle story, is that right? But the door was in the middle story, is that right? The door was in the middle story. That's why that middle rim that we spoke of last night as being the inner courts over there is symbolic. That's when you speak of the Catholics. That's the door to religion. That's the one that takes over. That's the middle part of it there. Down in the bottom of it, it was the creeping things. It was the thing in darkness. You say body, soul, spirit, get way up here in that top part. That was the only place that had a window. Is that right? If you say body, soul, and spirit, you got to get up here in the top part if you're able to see and get your eyes of understanding lightened. That's the only window there is to where you can look out here and see what's going on. You can see all right. All she had was the eye of God. Her understanding, her eyes of understanding was God's eyes of understanding. But when she mixed it with intellectual reasoning and stirred up the intellectual part of mankind, my brother and sister, from that time on, she was double-minded. She was unstable in her ways. And when she shared it with Adam, he became double-minded too. And I said last night, that's where those twins came from. That's where those twins come. That's what I'm saying tonight. That man that's in the earth tonight, that's the nearest thing to a son of God. He's a beast. He's a man. Is that right? He's a man. That's the nearest thing to a son of God is a man. Somebody that's never been born again is a beast. Because they have never been born again, they are a beast unless they're one of the predestinated. If they're one of the predestinated, they will come to sonship. But my brother, if they're not among the predestinated, that's the beast that's in the world. The brute beast that's made to be taken and burned, that'll head up in that intellectual power out there, that great philosopher in the end time. But the sons of God are in the earth, and the nearest thing to that in the garden today is that man. He's a beast. He's a beast. But I'm glad tonight that we can be sons of God. And that's the difference between the two deaths that we spoke of the other night. That two deaths back there we spoke of, we tried to get into it the other night to explain how that Christ conquered death at Calvary. There was two deaths that was involved back there. There's two deaths. In other words, from the time of the garden to over to Mount Sinai, I made the statement, I said death reigned over the people. But where there's no knowledge of the law, no knowledge of sin, death is not imputed. That is, sin is not imputed. Now, there was a difference in it. What was the difference? You say, Brother Pike, didn't Adam die? Didn't Seth die? Didn't these others die? If there was no death imputed, no trespasses imputed, why was it that they died? Because it was a different death, my friend. Jesus said, Lazarus sleepeth. It was a different death. When this body, this outer man dies, that's a different death altogether. The Bible speaks of the second death, which is the lake of fire. He said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. This natural man, this natural body, that this man is automatically guilty of the transgression of God's laws when he comes in the world, but is guilty of it in his ignorance. He doesn't know it. It's imposed upon him because of Adam. Therefore, he has to die, but it's only a bodily death. It's not a soul death. Jesus said man became a living soul. It's just a bodily death because there's no imposing of sin upon you because you don't know any better. That's the way they died. All died in the law, not having received the promise. God didn't charge it to them. They didn't die the death of the soul. They didn't die the death of the soul. Why? Because it was the guilt of the beast. It was the beastly part. It had to die. Heading unto Calvary. It had to die. Look at the woman's seed. We spoke of it the other night. The Bible said that her seed would bruise the head of the serpent. Is that right? Did you know? Now I want you to hold on to your seat. I know there's going to be some disagreements, but let's listen just a few minutes now before you jump the gun. Here's Jesus hanging at Calvary. There is a beautiful, beautiful illustrated type of the head of the serpent hanging on Calvary. A beautiful type of it. He that knew no sin was made a serpent as Moses lifted him up in the garden. Is that right? He that knew no sin was made sin that he might put an end to sin. He was made sin that he might put an end to sin. That death reigned all the way from the garden over them people. That serpent came down. John looked at it and looked back there and he said, you're a crooked generation. Jesus looked at it. He said, you're a generation of vipers. That is your snake. You come all the way down. We say snake in the grass. That is among the flesh. Snake in the grass. All flesh being grass. Snake in the grass. That thing coming right on down in the midst of the people, moving right on down. Is that right? Coming right on down. And here it comes up to Calvary. When it gets up to Calvary, the Bible said the seed of the woman bruised his head. Is that right? You remember they put the crown of thorns there? They pierced the side. They pierced the hand. They pierced the feet. He that knew no sin was made sin. He cried out, "Oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And God having to forsaken him, that he made him sin. What a beautiful picture of the church hanging on the cross. What a beautiful thing that, and here the seed of the woman. Here is the word of the church. Here is the spiritual revelation of God. Here is the end of Christ, the resurrected one, the Father from heaven, smiting sinful flesh. Paul said, "This sinful flesh, within that there dwelleth no good thing." He said, "Within my flesh there is no good thing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I thank God that through Jesus Christ, he said, God smote the body under Calvary. That means tonight that you, that have been born again, your body is dead, and in death your spirit goes back to God who gave it. Is that right? Your bodies are dead, Paul said. Reckon them to be dead because of sin, and in death your spirit went back to God who gave it, and your inner man, your spirit tonight, is hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the resurrection of your dead body. You're dead tonight to the world. You're dead tonight to sin. That outer man has been killed. That beastly part that caused the trouble has been taken away. God has done away with it. And tonight that serpent, the head was bruised at Calvary. That made an end of sickness. That made an end of unbelief. That done away with the things of the world back there. And my friend, tonight the devil, he can come to you. He can still put sickness on you. He can come to you. He can still bring poverty to you. But did you know there's one thing that we don't have to accept any of it? Did you know that back yonder it all ended at Calvary? Not for the world. It never ended for the world. Death never ended for the world. Sickness never ended for the world, but it ended for everyone that can believe in Calvary. Hallelujah. What a beautiful picture. Look at the ark. You say, "Brother Pike, is that body really the ark?" Absolutely, it was the ark of God. Look at it. Here the wrath of God comes down from heaven. The same waters that came down on the ark, what happened? What happened? It lifted that ark up. Is that right? But the same water that lifted it up to safety destroyed the other. The same word right here that's spirit and life to you is law and judgment to the others. It's lifting us up into a high place and taking our spirits up into heaven and raining down on the other and destroying them in this world. Like the Lord gave an illustration one time. He said, "Son," said, "I'm the great light into which no man can approach." He said, "I want to illustrate something to you." He said, "Go over here and touch this car. Stand out in the sun." He said, "Go over here and lay your hands on the car." I went over there and noticed it was a dark-looking car. I laid my hands on it. It was real hot. And he said, "Lay your hands on this white car." I went over and laid my hands on the white car, and there it was, just as cool as it could be. I said, "Lord, what are you trying to say to me?" He said, "I'm trying to tell you this one thing." He said, "Them that are born of God reflects the glory back to Jesus Christ." He said, "Everything good that comes to them, they say, 'Glory to God, hallelujah, praise the name of Jesus.'" And so that great light just passes through them and glorifies them and translates them and goes right back to God. And so they can move right into the presence of the great light and never even be scorched. He said, "But those that are in the earth, the intellectual powers, that's in darkness and not in light," he said, "that they claim everything to the benefit of themselves. They give education the credit for it. They give man skill and ability the credit for it." He said, "They absorb the wrath and indignation of God as the great light comes down," said, "it burns them." He said, "For I will destroy the man of perdition with the brightness of my coming." Did you know that the revelation tonight that's coming into the world is going to destroy that intellectual man out yonder? This revelation is going to be so bright. How many of you remember Gideon over there when they was gathered around in the valley over there? And the Bible said when they went to fight, that Gideon had posted them around and put those little candles down these clay pitchers. And he said, "Every man stand in your place until I give you a command." That's the way it is tonight. If Brother JT here could get every man to stand in his place and work in a coordination, then he'd get something done. But one's got to go evangelize. One's got to go do this, and one's got to go do that. And to keep the church tore up all the time, they won't follow the leader. But Gideon, he said, "You stand in your place. Don't do a thing until the signals give." And the Bible said they all stood around the valley. And over here they stood around. Then at the very time that Gideon gave that command, he said, "Now." And they broke those little clay pitchers. And brother, the revelation that hour began to shine. And those people that was in darkness got so confused they didn't even know where it's going. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. when the revelational mind of Jesus Christ comes. They think they're smart, but you let the revelational mind of Jesus Christ come, and it's so bright, it's like Stephen, what the Bible said, they could not withstand the wisdom by which he spake. Said they beheld his face as an angel. They didn't know what to do. They got so excited, they stoned him to death. Stoned him to death. My brother, I'll tell you, the mind of Jesus Christ is coming. If every man can stand his place. Look what a beautiful picture of it. Here the ark is at Calvary. You see it? Over here at Calvary, here's the ark. You say, Brother Pike, how is that the ark? The door was open in the side. Is that right? The blood and water. And the Bible said, let whosoever will come. Is that right? God gathered them into it. You say, but he gathered beasts and everything. That's right. He gathered something under darkness. He gathered something under light. Is that right? Some went down in the little park where there wasn't any light. You say, how do you know there wasn't any light? Because there wasn't but one window that was in the top. Amen. Them things went about. That's where the winged creatures went. Them winged creatures went about where the light was. Is that right? I know there's a 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Them other creeping things went down there in the darkness, couldn't see that light. Look what a beautiful picture of it. The Bible said Noah, here's he on the water. He turned that raven loose, and that raven went out there and began to circle around the earth. Is that right? Went out there and began to circle around the earth. And the Bible said he stayed out there. He stayed out there. But then he sent that little dove out there. And when he turned that little dove loose going out there, that little dove made a circle or two, and he come back in. He just didn't fit his appetite. He came back home. Amen. It's right. Isn't that the same way it happened at Calvary? Look at Calvary. The Bible said he was made sin. Jesus said, now is the son of perdition. Now is the power of darkness. Now is the spirit of Satan cast out of this world. The prince of the world, the prince of this world, he's gone now. Jesus defeated him at Calvary. The Bible said he destroyed him that had power over death. That sinful flesh being killed, and that evil spirit going out, that little old crow that was flying around. And what did he do? When Jesus cast him out of the body of the church and sealed the church unto redemption through the sacrifice, perfected forever them that are sanctified and once and for all by the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus. What did he do over there? That evil spirit went out there and began to circle around. And as he began to circle around, he saw them that was twice dead and plucked up by the roots and full of corruption and began to feed off of them. Is that right? It's been feeding off of them ever since. That Holy Spirit turned loose there, went out there, took one look and saw all that dead corruption out there. You know what it did? Just like that little dove, it went out there and he plucked a leaf and it came back. Over that Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came right back with a leaf from the tree of life, gave that eternal life, went out there and took a look and saw the corruption, went back into the ark, which was the many membership of God's body, which is in the church tonight, and said, I'll just stay here till the millennium. And when the rapture takes place, we get to that high place, he said, I'll go out there then and I'll find me a place. Hallelujah. Just keep in the little tabernacle until the time comes, and then we'll go out there and we'll enjoy ourselves. The dove went right back until that new earth came in. Is that right? When the ark finally crossed on over, when we get over the church ages and get on over here, and the rapture takes us up near this high lofty spot, we'll go right over the tribulation, get off all the corruption, then that dove will come right back out. He'll come out there with a vesture dipped in blood, and we'll come out with white vestures, follow him on white horses, and there stand up a millennium. What a day! Hallelujah! Glory to God, what a time that's going to be! Hallelujah! That ark lifted up there, God sealed them on the inside and lifted them up, that new earth coming in. What a beautiful picture it is of it tonight. My friend, God has conquered death. God has conquered death. I want to get around one night to talking about God conquering death, because God has already conquered death, and it's done. That serpent was smitten down at Calvary. That head was bruised at Calvary. He was made a serpent in the wilderness. That serpent was bruised at Calvary. That head was smitten at Calvary to put an end to death. You're free tonight. That's real deliverance. Hallelujah. Amen. You look back to Calvary. There ain't nothing can get past Calvary. That man of sin was killed there. He was put to death there. That is, the first man Adam was put to death. And the second man Adam came up out of the tomb. He came up out of the tomb. Now look at it just for a few minutes here. I'm going to close. Just look at it just for a few minutes here and see if you see what I'm talking about. Now look at this. The Bible said that Christ was delivered for our offenses. Is that right? He was crucified because of me offending in Adam. Is that right? He was put to death to pay the penalty. But the Bible said he was raised for my justification. Now you say, Brother Pike, I can see how I'm delivered there through Christ, the offenses, but how does that have to do with the justification of resurrection? Because until that time, nobody had ever come forth from the grave. Nobody had ever mastered death before. Nobody at any time. I know the first thing you say, oh, wait a minute, Brother Pike. Elijah raised the dead and Moses. Now, but I just spoke a few minutes ago of the first death and the second death. The Bible said Jesus Christ was the first fruits of them that slept. He was the first fruits of them. He paid of them that slept, he went into hell and he conquered hell. Came up from the grave victoriously. In that he rose from the dead. It proved that there was peace on earth and goodwill from God to man. Now, God wasn't angry with him anymore. The price had been paid. He came out of the grave. That proved justification in the sight of God. In other words, it proved that God wasn't upset with nobody anymore. Everything was all taken care of. That means that you don't have to die. I know that's another subject that we have to get in another time, but it means you don't have to die. But I do want to leave these thoughts with you tonight. My friend, you don't have to be sick tonight. You don't have to be in poverty tonight. You don't have to have heartaches tonight. You don't have to have sorrow tonight. That's right. Back here at Calvary is the end of it. Right there at Calvary, every bit of it ended. Amen. By His stripes you were healed. You were perfected forever back there. You're free tonight. Is that right? Amen. You're free tonight. Let's just try this tonight with just a few more minutes, can we? All right, let's just look at this just a few minutes. The Bible said He would shorten the days for the elect's sake. Is that right? He shortened the days for the elect's sake. Tonight we're free from death. How many believe that? He shortened the days for the elect's sake. He said the last enemy would be conquered. Is that right? Now we know they conquered sickness through Calvary. We know we conquered poverty through Calvary. If we speak of it, we know that that's done. Because the Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And we were under the curse, and the world was under the curse. But God lifted him up and hang him on a tree to take us out from under the curse. Is that right? 27, 28, Deuteronomy. Is that right? We are free from the curse tonight. We are free from all of that tonight through Calvary. That's why we can look back at the brazen serpent tonight, who was made the master of sin in the symbolic sense, and there we see it done away with. God suffered it to be. God took it away. God creates the good. God creates the evil. God paid the price for sin. God took it away. God does everything. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Now, you say, what is it, Brother Pike? Will you give me just a few more minutes now? And you say, what is it? Death. Look at the death from over here. Look at the garden. Here's the death over here from the garden over to Moses. Coming over our head and up in the tree of knowledge in the symbol or type which is the law. Is that right? The law brought condemnation. The knowledge of death came by the law. How many of you listen to that? Knowledge brings death. Is that right? When you know to do good and you don't do it, my friend, that's sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Paul said, alive without the law came, sin revived, I died. You understand what I'm saying? When you have a knowledge of the Word in your intellectual being, you are dead while you live. If you don't serve it, you've got the penalty of God upon you. You've got to get it in your heart. You've got to get it in your heart. Now then, how many of you really believe that Jesus conquered death at Calvary? You believe that? He did. He did. The last enemy that was to be conquered was death. Is that right? He said there'd be a day when we would win the redemption of our body. That is to say, there will be a day when God will reveal the knowledge and the understanding in its season to the church that there is no more death for the church. He's been leading up to it all the time. He revealed to them healing. He revealed to them deliverance from poverty. He revealed to them deliverance from heartache. But the great climax of it was to come to the place to where they win the redemption of the body. That is to receive the message, the understanding, the revelation of God in the end time that we don't have to die, that we can go by transformation. You believe that? You believe that? Somebody can't tell it to you. I said the other night, somebody can't just tell it to you. Now, if they get up here and tell it to you, it's going to take more than that. You've got to develop the mind of Jesus Christ, because that's the translating part. Let me say this right here. I said the other night that we are born again instantaneously. Is that right? Our inner man translated in the kingdom of God at death. The body went into the water of grave, was buried. Then the spirit went back to God who gave it. Is that right? How many of you in heaven tonight? Let me see your hand. All right, now then. Now, that's where we want to be, getting that door. Get up here in heaven. All right, now then. If that's true, if we're in heaven tonight, the Bible said we are. If we're up here in heaven tonight, if we come through the door of translation, through the door of Jesus Christ, by the transformation of mind, and we're up here in the Spirit, up here in heaven tonight, you say, well, I'm not. Well, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about them that made it through the door. I'm not talking about you that's down in earth. I'm talking about these up here in heaven now. Now, if this is true, and they're up here in heaven, if these really are up here in heaven, that means that there was an instantaneous birth. And that man-child was immediately called up to the throne of God. That is the inner man. He went up to God, that little baby Jesus Christ. It went into the kingdom of God. Is that right? I said the other night, this woman went into that intellectual wilderness. That's where the trouble is. See, when we're born again, it's an instantaneous change in our spirit. Is that right? That's an instantaneous thing. We're sealed. Our spirit is sealed unto the day of the redeeming of the body. Is that right? But now look at it like this. The body is dead because of sin. We're inactive in the body, but we're active in the spirit. Yeah.
Paul said, we're not in the body. We're not in the flesh. To be absent from the flesh of the body is to be present with God. That means to be born again. Now they said, we're not in the body. We're not in the flesh, but we are in the Spirit. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He that is born of the flesh is flesh. How many have been born of the Spirit? He said, he that is born of the Spirit is spirit. The second man, Adam, was a quickening spirit. The first man, Adam, put to death at Calvary the cause of sin. He made himself twain. Two. And the twain, the temple was rent in twain. Is that right? The veil? Saying, the temple, this is my body, destroyed and raised up in 3 days. The natural-minded Jews thought he's talking about a temple down on the earth, which was a similar type. But after his death, his resurrection, said they knew then he spoke about his body. There was a separation. There was a dividing in it. And from that came the covenant. I'd love to get into that sometime in the sixth chapter or sixth seal of Revelation. But let's just stay with this thought and close out in just a few minutes here. All right, now then, look at it like this. The Spirit is gone. The woman went into the wilderness. An instantaneous birth in the inner man. But there has to be a 1, 2, 3. Is that right? Oh, there's so many things I'd like to see in connection with this tonight. We just ain't got time. Time's got away. Now, but I want to say this to you. Now then, that is an instantaneous birth. Now, that man is gone. That inner man's gone to the kingdom of God. Is that right? He's sealed. He's saved. Can't nothing touch him. Can't nothing touch him. If the leopard can change his spot, the Ethiopian can change his skin, then they that are accustomed to do good can do evil. Is that right? Or vice versa. He's gone. He's sealed. Amen. A German come among English people, he might live to be an old man and grow a beard, but he's always a German. And put a sheep among goat, I don't care how long he stayed with me, he's still a sheep. Amen. He might get to smelling like him, but he's still a sheep. Amen. Take him out, clean him up. Is that right? He's still a sheep. All right, now what I'm trying to say tonight is that instantaneous thing took place. Now then, if we come to the body, it's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Is that right? But there's a lot of things that's got to take place before that. On the inside, God has put a kingdom. He's put the Shekinah glory. But my friend, it's trying to penetrate. It's trying to come from the inside to get into your blood genetics on the outside to preserve your body from death. That's what I spoke of the other night, the outer courts being redeemed. Leave the outer courts alone, let the Gentiles walk on them, call them whatever they want to on the time of redemption. The coming in of the Jews, Paul, when he got the revelation, I always wondered how he knew that. I thought, now Paul, how do you know that? I don't see how you could put that all together. But see, when the revelation came, I knew it just as clear as he did. Paul said, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but the resurrection? I thought, well, how can you say that? That don't make sense to me. But when I saw that the Jews represented the dead body that's dead at Calvary by faith in what he did, and that that body's unredeemed and we're waiting for the redemption of it, then I saw what he was talking about. Paul said them Jews will stay away from over there until the time of the rapture, of the redemption of the body. He said in just about the time that the rapture gets ready to take place, said watch those Jews go back to their homeland. Said they'll come up just like dead folks, begin to be resurrected. The Spirit of God will go back on the grounds again. He said when you see this, he said you know that the resurrection is at hand. That's why Jesus said when the fig tree putteth forth the leaves, you know that the Spirit of God is nigh. Summer's nigh. Solomon, when he looked over there, he said, all the trees are budding. He said, the apple blossoms are budding out. He said, the voice of the turtle dove is heard, cooing their mate. He said, summer's getting close by. Spring's getting close by. Hallelujah. We see a little poppy start coming up. He said, something's about happening. When you see people begin to perk up a little bit in the services, and they say, glory to God, and you see a new light and a new inspiration, you say, my God, there must be something getting close by. Something getting close by. The winter time's over. The pestilence is killed out. Now the resurrection of life is coming in again. Is that right? Something's happened. All those things that got in the church that wasn't supposed to be there. It was eating the tree up. Had to get rid of them. Had to spend a winter time. Let the life go back down the tree. It don't die. It just goes back down. All the pestilence die out. Everything leaves. All the blackbirds get away. And then the Spirit comes right back up in it. And the resurrection comes. And that's why Brother Branham died. I wish we could go into that tonight. But anyway, let me say this to you tonight. There's an instantaneous quickening of the Spirit. There's an instantaneous quickening of the body. But in between the Spirit and the body, this is where the problem is, coming from Egypt over to Canaan. It's in the intellectual wilderness where the woman went into the wilderness for a time, time and a half a time. There's a period of time in there and there's no way to get around it. You believe that's true? It's true. I wish we could add some more revelation tonight, but I know we can't. Let's just say this one little bit of thing here, and I'm really going to try to close. I'm telling you the truth from my heart. All you're looking at is just a few minutes. Look, here it is, an instantaneous thing in the Spirit, an instantaneous thing in the flesh. But in between this, we know in part, we receive in part, we transform blessed part, God has spent hundreds and thousands of years giving us a little part from generation to generation. You can see an antitype of it. Look at an old doctor back in many years ago, didn't know nothing. Pick up a little old root over here and work with this little root, turned into some kind of herb for a medicine, and he puts that down on a little old note, and after a while, another, and he discovers something about 10 generations later, come on down, and they done got a book catalog. One young fella comes up and drinks every bit of it, absorbs every bit of it, takes every bit of it, and he's a great medical doctor. See, God has used an antitype. Everybody's brought a little bit down through the ages, and now it's compiled itself, and it's coming in its fullness, in its entirety. We're supposed to be complete. Them people died and went by the way of the grave because they didn't have the fullness of the mind of Christ. Now, a lot of people say, Brother Pine, well, what do you expect us to do? God expects us to be perfect. And I say, well, I'd rather be back there with them. They didn't know as much what is much required, but they had to die. That's the difference. I'd rather know more and be translated, hadn't you? I'd rather know more and be translated. So then what I'm saying to you tonight is it's according to our surrender. It's according to our submission. It's according to us surrendering up our will as to how fast we can grow, proportionally speaking, as we learn in part. That inward coming out into the outward. That's what happened to Enoch. Enoch just kept thinking and walking and talking and praying and thinking and walking and believing. After a while, it popped out like that, went into the body, was translated by faith that he should not see death. Somebody said they got to come back and die. That don't make sense. If the Bible said he was translated that he should not see death, why would he come back and die? See, it'd be double talk. That wouldn't make sense, would it? Look at Moses. Got so close the Shekinah glory come through and his face glowed. Is that right? That's what Brother Branham did. Jesus did it. Brother Branham got so close until it glowed. They took pictures where his face was aglow. Sin was coming on out. God had to take him out of here to keep it before time. It had to be that way. Like the apostles. Why did God let the apostles get killed and die? It had to be that way. All that Pentecost was a preview of the end time. I pour out my spirit upon all flesh at the end time. That was just a preview of it. If they had stayed over there, they'd have been raptured. They'd have been translated. God had to let them die. The church had went out long before it ever ended. That'd be like an immature birth. It couldn't be that way. Hallelujah. But I tell you, I feel the curtain moving on life. Hallelujah. I feel something taking place. This is proportional growth, children of God. This is proportional growth. How fast are we going to grab it? You already got this in earthen vessels. This heavenly treasure in earthen vessels on its way out. But how fast are you going to let it come out? How fast? How fast are you going to let it come out? Enoch got it and went right on. Elijah got it and went right on. Moses got it and went right on. Jesus got it and went right on. Is that right? Now, you say, what are you saying? Here's what I'm trying to say. Now, if I had this room full of yes, and I went out here, and day after day, I invited people in, or if I didn't have it full of yes, if I just had the people in, and I shut the door when I got it full, got the last one I wanted in here, turned on the gas, let it get full of gas, everybody's in, the door's closed, can't nobody else get in, just strike a match and that's it. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. That's what God's doing. God is translating one into the kingdom, another into the kingdom, going into the ark, getting ready to close the door, the closing of the door to the Gentiles. That's what the ark door is. They're getting ready to close it. One coming in. You say, how do you know when the door's closed? When the Jew comes in. That's the end of it. As sure as we live and breathe, that's the end of it. And my friend, what's that song they sing? Nations are breaking, Israel awakened, the signs of the prophets foretold. Is that right? Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered, return, O disperse into thine own. Is that what it says? I believe that the Gentile age is at an end. I believe that things is just ready to explode right now. I believe the translation and the rapture is just ready to go right now. And the mysteries that was hid in those thunders will come out, and it'll come to the church called Joseph, run all the Egyptians out before he ever made himself known to the brethren. But I tell you, when all the pestilence are gone and the doors closed, then he'll come in and he'll say, I never was what you thought I was. Here's what I am. And then, my brother, that'll do it. That'll do it. Let me say this, and I'm going to close. How many of you know that you got to get in heaven before you can burn the earth up? Everybody that don't get in, you're going to be down there where the fireworks is. You better come on up here while you got time. Better give him the kingdom, because he can't do nothing until they get out of sight. Amen. But when the last one's gone out, that'll be it. You understand with me? I appreciate you tonight. I appreciate your kind attention. Not trying to weary you by holding you so long, but I just... The time just gets away so fast. Is all. I look up at the clock and it's done and gone over there. Let's sing a little chorus tonight together, can we? I don't know of a better one than Amazing Grace. Oh, Amazing Grace.
How sweet your sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Let's lift our hands and praise Him. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.